back. You're watching Press TV's international rolling coverage coming out of the crisis in Gaza as the death toll mounts, as the number of wounded mount. This channel has more correspondents than any other as regards an international English language network. You're watching Press TV. We can go straight live to one of those correspondents. Akram is in Gaza. We've been seeing black plumes of smoke rise over Gaza City. Akram, what's the situation there right now?
The situation is that the bombardments are still ongoing. The Israelis are intensifying their air fire towards the Zaytun neighborhood and Al-Shaja'iyya and Al-Tufah neighborhood. Their unmanned planes are still hovering all over the place and hitting different targets. Those targets include in the 30 past minutes a house, an open agricultural field, and other places. Palestinian health sources confirmed the death of three Palestinians in those very recent attacks in the Gaza Strip.
And why would they be bombing open fields?
The Israelis, in one of their press releases, they said they were targeting tunnel networks, they were targeting Hamas operatives. That's what they say. But what the people say that they are trying to clear the area in order to eliminate or neutralize any Palestinian guerrillas who are hiding for them. Because one of the tactics of the Palestinian guerrilla is to hide and open, to hide under the ground and take the Israelis by the Israeli troops by surprise and hit them. The Israelis are trying to clear the land before they do. In one of the open fields, they kept targeting the place, the very same place as you can hear now. This is the place we are talking about, which is Jabal al-Kashif. They kept targeting the place for more than 6 days, and the Palestinian resistance, though, took them by surprise and killed and injured almost 33 Israeli soldiers. They tried to clear the area. They used the very crazy shelling to make sure that they are clearing the area. But the Palestinian guerrilla still takes them by surprise sometimes and hit them. That's what they say to explain the fact that open fields are being hit.
We're hearing more criticism from the Red Cross, and we're also hearing unnamed sources telling some news agencies that Israel's Gaza person, Amos Gilad, is not going to Cairo as was planned. Are you hearing on the ground that in the next 24 hours, Gaza's onslaught is going to worsen?
Well, the Israeli cabinet, they declared yesterday they are going to maximize pressures on Hamas. Like, they moved from toppling Hamas and undermining its authority on the ground to operating some pressure on Hamas. I would expect they are now doing, they are now trying to hit as much civilian targets and as much guerrilla groups as they can to make sure they can improve their conditions on the negotiations in Cairo. The Israeli government has serious questions. I mean, within the Israelis, within the columnists who are writing to the Israeli media, within the audience who was waiting for a change in the south of Israel. But the change was adverse. The Israelis were not saved from the Palestinian rockets, and the radius of the Palestinian rockets increased to include more than 50, to hit within 50 kilometers away from Gaza. The Israelis are now trying to act like they are the boss here in the field, but they are not the boss. They are trying to improve the conditions. They are trying to act like they have all the time in the world to achieve their goals, while they don't have any time, and while the pressure is amounting within the Israeli community and within the international community, and much more questions are rising now about the efficiency of this ground group, or rather the efficiency of this adventure in Gaza, and the price that Israel should pay at the end to make sure they can withdraw this adventure with less losses than they expected.
The only way Hamas can defend Gaza, arguably, is from arms that come through those tunnels. There are hundreds of miles of tunnels under Gaza. Why would the Israelis think that bombing fields, they will, by doing that, they can stop the arms being supplied to Hamas?
Well, what we are witnessing in Gaza Strip as Lebanon war number two. The Israelis were moving very carefully in light of the Vinograd Committee recommendations. They wanted to go very slowly, and they wanted to hit every possible target to make sure they ease it on their troops on the ground. The Israelis seem to be not learning from the lessons of Vinograd Committee. They seem to be committing the very same mistakes, and their ground troops are now stuck in at the outskirts of Gaza. So they are saying now they are targeting the tunnels because they are saying that this is the modified version of Lebanon war tunnels, and they are trying to target them. Now, as we can see in the field, those tactics are not reducing the efficiency of the Palestinian guerrilla. They are still taking the Israelis by surprise sometimes and hitting their groups and causing them real serious injuries sometimes and deaths. So the Israelis are trying to improve the reputation of their army, are trying to look like they have full control on the ground, but they are not.
Akram, thank you very much. We'll be going back to you as we get more information on those continued strikes on Gaza. George Jabour, advisor to former President of Syria, Hafez al-Assad, is live joining us from Damascus. George Jabour, two questions. What are you hearing from the Hamas leadership in Damascus? And what about the Syrian-Iranian-Turkish track, which doesn't seem to be talked about very much in the international media?
Yeah, well, Mr. Khalid Mashhal delivered a very important talk in Damascus recently, and in it he clarified the position of Hamas. In it he asked for ceasefire, for ending of the blockade, for opening the passages, and of course he said that everything else will be talked about later. His talk was very dense in terms of meanings and metaphors, and it was well received by the political atmosphere here in Damascus and by the political atmosphere in which I find myself in the Middle East altogether. And I think that he acquitted himself very well. He acquitted Hamas and the method Hamas is dealing with the situation in Gaza. This is about the talk of Mr. Mashal and the attitude of Hamas. Needless to say that Foreign Minister Shara rather reiterated the conditions of Hamas regarding the present situation. Now, the triangular Syrian, Turkish, Iranian relationship. This relationship is being strengthened as the days pass on the Israeli aggression against Gaza. The position of the three countries seems to be rather one and the same regarding the aggression. We have heard very important pronouncements emanating from the human nature, the ordinary human nature, ordinary humanitarian tendency in every person of us. We heard such pronouncements from the Turkish Prime Minister. He earned high admiration by all Syrians, by all Arabs, by all human rights activists in the world when he condemned the Israeli invasion in the very strong terms. The Iranian position has already been well known since the start of the Islamic Revolution in Iran, when the revolution dismissed the Israeli embassy and turned it into a Palestine embassy. So I suppose that the positions of the three countries will have quite an effect on the developments in the situation regarding the Israeli aggression on Gaza.
Dr. Jabour, I know other channels want to speak to you. We're speaking to you first. Hope to go back to you soon. Someone from the Free Guard.